For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Audio courtesy of Bally Sports. Danny, I want you to think. Owen, I want you to think. Mitch, I want you to think of something. Danny's in for Anthony today through the rest of the week. I want you to think of something. I want you to think about it right now as fast as you can. Something I can do. That if I'm proven wrong, it's embarrassing. I can do. You remember when Paul Hoynes went into the Lake Erie?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Something like that.
Something like that. I want you guys to think of something like that.
Well, you
right
always
now.
Tell people to kiss your bare ass on Euclid, so kiss a bare ass on Euclid.
I there like that. I like that.
You want me to kiss? I'm not going to kiss someone's bare ass on for film.
Bring your bare asses down.
One day it's going to happen. I'm going to kiss someone's bare ass. That
right
will
Euclid.
Happen. I hate to tell you, but it's true. I should probably get it done sooner than later so my kids aren't old enough to. You know, see me kiss a bare ass like Ricky and Trailer Park Boys. However, you got to think of something because what I'm about to say, I hope and I pray I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong. This division is not going to be won by the Guardians. I worry about their future. I worry about them winning, getting into the wild card. And the reason I say that is not because it's lackadaisical. It's not because it's lack of effort. I think it's because they are absolutely pressing. And the reason that they are losing these games is that they are pressing so much. Stephen Kwan, I don't know what we got to do for Stephen Kwan. It has fallen off a cliff over the last few weeks. Mike Accisi at the All-Star break said he was going to be finishing the season at 400. I think he's at 303, which is still good. I got Naylor swinging out of his shoes right now. Jose's doing everything he can to keep him together. And then when the manager, why do you try to put Eli Morgan out there for a third inning in game one yesterday? Tyler Freeman misplayed and lost it in the sun. A fly ball, I get it.
He had it. Like that, it was in his glove.
God.
I can't buy the sun thing. Eli Morgan should not have been out there for the
he
fact
should
that,
not have been out there.
The fact that they got 2 innings out of Eli Morgan, this is great.
And
why
that tells
push your
me
luck?
That they're pressing.
Why push your luck?
He knows more than we do. He knows that they might have some problems there. They are pressing. He is pressing as a rookie manager, and the wheels are getting shakier and shakier. You got to hold on loosely.
Shave off an eyebrow.
I can't affect my personal appearance.
Oh, that's right.
They'll get
more
mad
than
at me.
You already have.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I can drink and smoke cigars and eat and all the other things, but if I shave off one of my eyebrows or my head or anything like that, I don't think the bosses here would really care, but the bosses at the other place have a problem with it.
I forgot about the other place.
There you go.
My bad.
All right, what's the other thing I can do? I hope I'm wrong. 216-474-0092. Am I wrong or am I right? Because if Lima was here,
I've got the perfect one.
Who knows? Lima was downright mean spirited to the people who were questioning them last week.
One.
What do you got?
If they end up pulling this off, whenever the season ends, you've got to stand outside the gate over there on East 9th where the players are at the end of the year with all the rest of the guys searching for autographs. You got to just stand over there.
I got to be an autograph shark.
Yep.
I love that. I love
but
that.
But that just look at me as competition.
You can go eat your pie. Well, the players are going to know. Believe me, I'll make sure they know.
I did think of one thing. Curtis Danberg comes in here, right?
Mm-hmm. I've heard of him.
What about a pie in the face? He gets to pie me.
What would it be? Would it be blueberry pie or humble pie?
Or are we just talking like humble whipped pie. Cream pie? Well,
no, you got to leave something. You got to have something that. Well, leaves
I was a hoping
mark.
So, but just
something
checking.
That something that I hopefully it's not piping hot. I mean, you got whatever pie.
Well, no,
you get,
it has to be safe.
Whatever pie you get, you got to put all the whipped cream on it. I just said this off the top. My boss is off today. So probably I'm being pretty irresponsible about it, but I'm willing to do what you guys tell me.
It's okay.
Okay.
That's what we're here to do.
I didn't know if there was a difference between pretty and very, but here we are. I mean, seriously, you tell me what to do, because I think it's panic time for a lot of Guardians fans out there. I mean, I thought over the weekend, I go, guys, you guys are freaking out. There's no reason to freak out. And I mean, it literally took one day because I did not know this stat. I was blown away by it. I'm watching yesterday, and they lose game one, and I'm going, okay, this isn't good. You got to get them in game two. And then I click in, and it was right before the Salvador Perez home run, and then it was right after the Grand Slam. It was the Grand Slam by Salvador Perez. Difference.
That's worth four runs.
Salvador Perez hits a Grand Slam, and I'm going, man, I don't remember splitting a series this year at all. Certainly not a sweep. Mandy Bell on Twitter. Mandy Bell, a Twitter reaction is brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. 6:07 and 40 seconds for those scoring at home. Mandy wrote, Guardians and doubleheaders in 2024, 0-8. Guardians and doubleheaders since the start of 2023, 1-17. One win and 17. So they're not just like losing a couple.
No.
They're losing like all of them.
How is that
all
a real
day,
stat?
Every day. I can't believe it. I saw that. I go, well, I'm trying to remember this year, and I don't want to undersell 0-8 this year.
Because that's bad. That is really bad. And part of that does have to be bad luck.
Haven't most come at home as well?
They had one in Minnesota that I remember that they got swept
that's
a couple
right.
of weeks
okay.
ago. I believe there was yesterday. So that's four of the
but
eight.
But they've had two this month
they've
that have
had-
been.
Let's see, Saturday, April 13th, the Yankees, they lost a doubleheader at home.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
That was early in the season. That's also the last time that they were not in first place.
Well, they might not be in first place
Sunday,
later today.
April 14th.
That might change
today.
Guys,
I can barely come up for air. Like, this is a scary scenario.
April 14th
scenario.
Was 4 years ago, guys.
You tell me what I need to do, and I'll do it. I hope I'm wrong. I'm willing to do whatever. They're pressing, and that's why I feel like this. They
had a 9-game lead in the division on Tuesday, June 25th, after a win in Baltimore.
Those are real good times. I miss those times.
It is panic time, and it should be panic time right now. It absolutely should be. This team looks like a shell of itself. You brought up Stephen Kwan, Ken. That guy was hitting 400 in June, and I get that he missed a few weeks because of a hamstring, but he's hitting... What's his batting average since the All-Star break? Is it above 250? It can't be. Josh Naylor looks like he's not a Major League Baseball player. Jose Ramirez is giving his best, but he's just not good. They don't have anyone right now, really, other than John Kenzie Noel, that I'm confident can just go out there and look competent.
No.
Nobody.
No.
And the fact that they haven't made...
He's the only one hitting with any confidence right now.
Right. And the fact that... And I get that... At this point in the year, your options to make changes are a little bit limited. I understand that. But the fact that they seemingly keep running out the same lineup every single night and it's not working, that is what frustrates me the most. Because, we can talk about guys underperforming, but it doesn't necessarily feel to me as if they're searching for viable alternatives here that maybe do exist. I'm not saying that the answers are in AAA, but right now I know the answers are not in Cleveland. And that's the biggest problem with me.
216-474-0092. I mean, it's you can't. Yesterday, everybody your rookie manager is starting to show his rookie manager stuff. Of course, I don't know. You're 100 games in, over 100 games into the season. I don't know if you could. I don't know if you could say that he's a rookie manager anymore. I mean, it's as bad as it gets. That is awful. It's awful, and I'm trying to hold back because again, they're one game up in the division still. They're one game up, so I'm trying not to I'm trying not to get that upset. But boy, that's as rough. That's just rough. And damn it, I'm holding on. I've been cocky. I've tried to be cocky about it. At least I've tried to. I think the fans have kind of been waiting for the other shoe to drop in a lot of senses, to the point where I thought that some fans were actually hoping that the other shoe would drop, because I think there is a sickness against the ownership at times. But then again, when you have a 9-game lead in June, you fail to supplement that. And Lyman and I went back and forth, and he made good points. There were no other big names that really ended up moving. But for fans, when they want them to go all in and they don't go all in because they cannot afford to go all in, because they cannot replenish to go all in, they can't do those things, it is a very frustrating cycle for a lot of fans that brings them to this moment, to this crescendo, where they're going to have to get upset with somebody and they're going to have to blame someone. And they ain't going to blame Jose Ramirez, because you're not going to blame that guy because there's no reason to blame him. Mm-hmm. And you're really not going to blame the bullpen, because the bullpen's a bullpen's a bullpen, and they're willing to go belly up at just about any time, like Hunter Gaddis yesterday when you were able to tie the ball game up, and then you immediately gave it back because you gave one inside and low to Bobby Witt, which he took into the bleachers.
Yep.
Which, I guess if I'm going to lose to somebody, I guess I'd rather lose to Bobby Witt than a lot of other guys in professional baseball. But that ended up being a problem for everybody involved, and rightfully so. But again, you trot out after the type of outing that you had through two innings of Eli Morgan, you try to trot him out for a third inning. It was just, I'm sorry, it was absolutely asinine.
It's a bad
you
move.
Rarely ever have him pitch for a third inning. I know you were chasing, trying to get to game two and trying to chase as few bullpen pitchers as you could possibly run out there. I get that, but you have a slim lead in this division. You needed to treat this like a postseason game. That was not treated like a postseason game or a postseason series. It was a very, very, very bad decision by your rookie manager.
Well, and why did they deviate from the plan in that game one? Because weren't they supposed to have an opener, and then Joey Cantillo was supposed to come in and pitch after that? But because they took a lead, they changed. They went to Eli Morgan. Getting two innings out of Eli Morgan, the fact that he got through two innings, I think he was six up, six down. Like, he was perfect through two. I was stunned that happened. Mm. I can't be mad at Eli Morgan for giving up that three-run home run in his third inning of work. Because he should never have been out there. That's not, to me, that's on Stephen Vogt. That's not on Eli Morgan.
He's a competitor, and if you put him out there, if you ask him to go out there, he's going to go out there. He's going to do his job.
Right.
It's not like he's not going to go out there. But Eli Morgan, I think that people have a fleeting sense of trust with Eli Morgan to begin with. And when you put him out there for a third inning, you're really stretching that as far as you possibly can.
Yeah.
And then when it backfires the way that it did, because you tune in, it's 2-0, you're feeling good. All right, you might get to steal this one, and then it goes belly up. And then again, you got the 3-3, and you're still thinking a little bit positive about it, because scoring runs has been a bit of a struggle here over the last month. You get it back to 3-3, and when Hunter Gaddis immediately gives up a home run to Bobby Witt, I think that that's when a lot of people started to vent it out. So I do have people in my mention saying that there's no drama needed. We're still one game up in the division. That is very Anthony Lima of them.
I don't understand how you can be confident in this team still, considering what they've looked like. Was this team...
Well, I don't think it's... They haven't... What do you mean by look like?
How they've played baseball over the last month and a half. Because, hang on... This team had the best record in baseball a month and a half ago. Were they ever actually going to be the best team in baseball? Probably not. They were at a certain point on pace to win 105 games. They were never actually that team. There was always going to be a rough patch for them, and that was fine.
Well,
but this has been so extended, and it's part of the reason why I think there was a big section of this fan base that really wanted them to be aggressive and go all in at the trade deadline, because they knew something like this was coming, and if they would have added more... I'm not saying that all of this would have been prevented, but some of it could have been, and you'd feel a lot better about this team than having lost 8 games in the division.
I should clarify for a second. They're not half-assing.
No.
And I'm not mad at them. It's just going to be extremely hard not to get mad at management. And I think that management is meant to be mad at and get mad at for. And I think that every fan, if they cough this thing up, and it looks like they're probably going to cough this thing up, I think every fan has a right to be upset with management from the ownership on down.
Yeah. I am mad at...
And I didn't want to do that. I did not want to do that, Danny. I didn't want the same old when it comes to the Dolans and when it comes to baseball and all that stuff, considering what they did. But they are pressing. I'm not mad at their effort. Their effort is almost too much. It's not that they're not paying attention. I don't think that they're falling asleep out there. I don't think they're doing any of that. They're a young team, and I think they're feeling the heat right now, and I'm worried about their leadership. Yes.
I am frustrated the team's not playing well, and I'm frustrated with the players for that. But I am mad at the front office that they didn't do enough. I'm mad at Stephen Vogt to an extent that this lineup seemingly doesn't change every day despite the fact that it's not producing results.
Well, but
I'm mad at him for leaving in Eli Morgan. I'm not mad at Eli Morgan for trying his best yesterday. I'm mad at Stephen Vogt for putting him in a position to fail.
I agree with the Eli Morgan thing. I think that what he's doing with the lineup is he doesn't want to do a freak out move the lineup and scare all the guys on his team. You know, he's the one who's I sit here in my tower and I comment on what's going on there. I don't need to be around these guys every day. He does, and he needs these guys to respond to him. So I actually get some of the hesitancy to not make strong lineup moves every game. But you are reaching a point to where you either A, are going to make a strong lineup move, which is bound to backfire, bound to terribly backfire, or B, you just continue to be consistent all the way to hopefully a wild card, But it's getting to a point right now where, yeah, last night when you're 0-8 in doubleheaders and you have Kansas City in town and Bobby Witt's taking your yard and Salvador Perez, I don't know if there's a catcher that's played as much of the position as him over the last 10 years. He is as fantastic as it gets. I have a mountain of respect for him. But, man, you give up a grand slam like that when you have a chance. I mean, that is a major, major blow to the psyche of the fan base.
Yeah.
And the vibes in 13 years, when you have it is a good baseball team. But when I look overall where you have, think about this. You have a playoff football team, a playoff basketball team. You have a team that can make the playoffs in baseball. They're a good baseball team. That's part of the reason I think we're frustrated. The vibes are as low as they've been in a while.
They are.
Think about this with the general fan. I cannot bring this up enough, and I think I have to bring it up again. Guys, the vibes are not good with the fan base.
But are the fans wrong for not having great vibes right now? I don't think so. And back to the lineup thing, Josh Naylor's like 2 for his last 32. And I understand he had a couple of hits yesterday. Those were the two hits, basically, of the last 32. And he's routinely hitting fourth in this lineup behind Jose Ramirez. That's where the big issue is. It's that this guy looks like he's not a Major League Baseball player right now. He's hitting, for the last month, he's hitting under 200. And that's what you're hoping for the best there. And it's just routinely hurting this team. And they won't move off from it.
Now, the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima give their thoughts on what you might have missed about last night.
All right, if you're on hold, stick around. 216-474-0092. We're going to be truncated about this because there's people who definitely want to talk about the Guardians and how bad it went yesterday. They lost the nightcap as well, which Mandy Bell pointed out. And I'm sure there were other people who did it, but she was the first one I saw where the Guardians are 0-8 in doubleheaders in 2024. By the way, they're 1-17 since 2023, which I can't just blame it all on Vogt. Tito Francona was the manager last year.
That doesn't even feel real.
Yeah. Stephen Vogt, though, game one was that was a Vogt loss. You left Eli Morgan out there an inning too long. He had a good two solid innings, and then things went right to hell in the third inning, and he was asked about that from Zach Mizel of The Athletic. This is what he had to say.
You said after the first game that was how you wanted to deploy your pitching, how you drew up. Is that the same with the second game? Like when you go into game one, is this what you're envisioning?
I mean, you can't envision game two until you get through game one. Game one, we went with what we thought was going to help us win the game. We just didn't come out on top. And then in game two, we had what we had.
So you put them out there for a third inning because you weren't thinking about game two?
There's not a chance you weren't
thinking about game two when you put him out there for a third inning. There's no way that's true.
If you were not thinking about game two, Eli Morgan has not pitched three innings. There are almost no scenarios in which Eli Morgan should be pitching three innings for this baseball team in the same day. It's hard for me to see him pitch three innings in a week.
If he's only thinking about one game before he gets to game two, then Eli Morgan is not coming out for the third inning.
No. No chance.
Unless he really has no faith in the rest of the bullpen out of nowhere, and then we have ourselves a much bigger problem to talk about.
The only time Eli Morgan should pitch three innings in a game is when they're down big and they just need outs. When they just have to get through the game.
That's what Pedro Avila's for.
Sure, but if he's unavailable.
To come in and be a human victory cigar.
If it happens twice in a row.
When's he not available?
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
If he did it the day before,
doesn't matter. You go, if I'm getting blown
out, that's
not
a victory cigar. That's a white towel.
You can go. That best thing about Pedro Avila, it can go either way. He's a victory cigar or he's a white towel. Doesn't matter. Depends on the day. That's what I love about Pedro Avila. You can decide whether or not to watch or not.
Game 2 last night. So.
Yes.
Because Stephen Vogt was not thinking about game 2 when game 1 was
but
going
there is
on.
A
hey, Stevie, start thinking about game 1 and then start thinking about game 2. Don't think the other way.
There is a game 3 of this series.
Great.
Coming up late. Oh, come on now. It's not all together too terrible.
Maybe we could be tied in the division by the end of today.
All together too great. We got Gavin Williams going today. He's taking on a guy, Michael Lorenzen. Who has the same last name as Jared Lorenzen, R.I.P. Jared,
I'm not feeling confident. I've lost my confidence, Ken.
Boy, you're in a bad place right now.
I need
now.
To get my swagger back, and it's not here right now.
Then you got Tanner Bibee coming up tomorrow against okay. Michael Waka Waka Waka. I mean, come on.
They could get swept.
No, stop it.
They could.
Hey.
Would you be surprised?
Oh,
Would you?
Hey, you're telling me they can't win tonight again with Gavin Williams on the mound?
I'm also saying they could lose tonight with Gavin Williams on the
mound. It's baseball, guys. They could win or they could lose. That's kind of the way it goes.
The guy that hasn't played shortstop all year that's going to run out and call off Jose Ramirez on a ball. Then we're going to drop a ball. Then we're going to give up 2 runs on the play instead of, you know, getting the out.
Fair point.
Then somehow we lose game 1 and that leads to game 2 losing. And all of a sudden our division lead that was 9 on June 25th is gone.
That's a fair point. I mean, I can't.
I mean, we were talking about in June going, is it over? Do we even need to care anymore?
Well, the best thing for Lima is he's not awake to hear any of this.
Oh, I'm sure he's
when he
up.
Was. Wasn't he using strong language against some of those fans who were whooping it up a few weeks ago?
Yeah, a little bit.
There was some salty language being thrown out there by Tone, and boy, he took just the time off he needed just in time. Now, they're going to win tonight. Gavin Williams going to pitch well. They're going to win tonight.
I hope you're right. I just don't have faith.
It's Guardians win tonight.
Truthfully,
they're going to be 2 games up by tomorrow morning.
It's not on Gavin Williams the reason why I don't feel confident tonight. Gavin Williams could pitch fine, and they could still lose. And what makes this worse is because baseball got rid of any game 163 situations, it's a tiebreaker thing, they're not going to have the tiebreaker over KC. So if they do lose tonight and they're tied in the division, they're down a game, really, because KC holds the tiebreaker.
Why don't you relax for a second there?
Hey, Danny, you asked in the last segment, you know, watch Stephen Kwan batting since the All-Star break. It's 203. The answer is 203.
That's not
I'm
good.
Not concerned that not Gavin Williams is starting the game or not. It's when guys who we've depended on to be catalysts for this team during their high times are now low, along with where the win-loss record is right now, which they're still, 19 games over?
When it comes to the Browns, do you want to hear the good news or the bad news first? I'm a bad news first guy.
I think I am, too. I think I am,
well,
too.
Well, do you
I
want to hear the bad news or the good news?
Let's hear the bad news, Ken.
All right, bad news is they waived 16 guys yesterday. Caleb Johnson among the notables. Zach Johnson, who played in three different positions. Jeremiah Martin, he was one of the people that were let go. Isaiah Thomas, seventh round pick in 2022, he was let go as well. You want to hear the good news, though?
I do.
Kevin, tell them the good news, babe.
Injury update for practice tomorrow. Guys that will be out there, Jack Conklin, D'Anthony Bell, Dalvin Tomlinson, Greg Newsom, David Njoku, Pierre Strong, Jordan Hicks, Tony Fields. Jed is going to come off PUP, will not practice tomorrow, but progressing. Denzel Ward, I don't have an update other than to say he's making good progress.
With Jed not being ready to practice yet and Jack coming off the list, is Jack a viable option for you at left tackle and he start getting some work there?
Yeah, what I would tell you with really all of our positions, we're not going to set a depth chart. We'll just work through all those type of things. I'm excited to get Jack back out there at practicing and going through walkthroughs and that type of thing, but not going to get into specifics per se.
Here you go.
There's the good news.
Better. There's the good news, baby. The band's back together. Greg Newsom's back. Dalvin Tomlinson's back.
Jed Wills off the pup.
More on Jed Wills coming up at 7:20. You guys are not going to hear what I have. Not going to like what I hear. What Whoa. I have to say. You're
more,
not going to like hearing what I have to say.
More bad news from Ken Carmen?
Well, it's not bad news for me.
Are you delivering it?
It's good news, but not good news.
Excuse me?
It's good news, but it's not good news.
So it's bad news?
Yes. It's not bad news, but it's not good news. It's news. People are commenting, Owen is in a rough place emotionally right now. Yeah, you are.
Yeah, it's not good right now.
I get it.
Owen's in a rough spot,
I'm probably
spot,
still going to go to the game tonight. I'm probably going to Randy Quaid it. I'm probably going to wear my shirt inside out. I'm probably going to boo everything that happens.
That could be a punishment for Ken, too.
That'd be nice.
Wearing his clothes inside out for a week.
Not good. Not very, very good.
Then we can
good.
See the gussets from the other side.
They're fully gusseted. Triple gusseted. Moving on. Sad news in the world of professional wrestling. Psycho Sid, also known as Sid Vicious, passed away at the age of 63, as announced by his son. Real name Sid Udy. Was a former WWE and WCW champion. Not at the same time. Also the source of some great wrestling story. Don't even start. I know Arn Anderson probably isn't going to be
in the world.
I know. Yeah, he's a,
that's all I was going to say. Somebody, it's not a day to talk about scissors or anything.
It was only 63 years old. He was. It's just another part of your childhood that's gone, sad to say. Yeah, I know. Arn Anderson probably isn't going to be at the funeral. And somebody did say, I hope he's enjoying the great big softball game in the sky. Here you go. 63. Sad to say.
Far too young.
He's gone. You got nothing on Sid Justice,
I don't know
huh?
who that is.
Or Sid Vicious.
I don't know who that is.
You don't know anything about Sid Vicious?
No.
You know anything about Psycho Sid?
No, nothing. I had not heard of this person until I saw the sheet.
You bag. Need to go look up. The Shockmaster. Have you heard of the Shockmaster?
Not
Have you
even
watched
once.
The Shock?
This
You've
is
never
the first
seen
time.
The Shockmaster video?
No! I have no idea what this is.
Sid Vicious is the only one who doesn't break character during the Shockmaster video.
Okay.
We'll go back. You go back and you watch it. Google it right now and you can watch it during the break. And by the way, speaking of, to wrap up about last night, Bernie came to practice last night.
Oh, how was that?
Guest. Bernie Kosar came Bernie to your Kosar. Practice?
Bernie Kosar and Frank Stams came to football practice yesterday. My head coach wasn't very thrilled with me because I didn't tell him because...
Who cares?
Frankly, I wasn't going to sit there and guarantee that Bernie was going to show up and then not have Bernie because Bernie's a very busy man. But he came by. He got in drills. He was starting to run drills.
Was he throwing passes to the boys?
Yes. Amazing. Yes!
I think you didn't tell the head coach because it's your program now.
No.
After you bring Bernie in, it's your
you
program
dare
now.
Put that in his
it
head.
It is your program now. Buddy, that is a power move, my friend.
I have made it abundantly clear. I am on the board in a non-voting role, and I do not want to have a vote in that role. It ain't my program.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That move does not say that.
I wash my hands of it. I wash my hands of all this. The parents were very excited. There were a couple of sons who didn't necessarily know who Bernie was.
Because they're how old? Nine.
They are 9 year old boys.
I get that. I wouldn't have known.
Their parents certainly knew. The phones were out yesterday,
which was nice.
You
didn't bring Sid Vicious to Danny's practice.
Yeah, you wouldn't have known anything.
Had no idea.
Would have probably been rough to carry him there. But either way,
I remember when I was a kid, Dennis Northcutt showed up at a practice one time, and like that was a really big deal. But Sid Vicious, I would have had no idea.
But I think it started some. I will say it. I think it started some great conversations on the way home because I did have a coach like, "Hey, I got to tell my son about Bernie."
We just talked about last week how you needed to, you know, you had asked your defensive linemen what their favorite team was and all that, and I told you have to get them to push to root for the Browns. This is all part of it.
It is.
You live in Cleveland area. You live in Northeast Ohio. You need to be, at least. Push toward the option of being a Browns fan.
My civic duty.
Molding young lives.
Yep. I promised him, I says, anytime there's ever a possibility somebody else comes out, I will let you know. I am sorry about that. That one, I just wanted to under-promise and over-deliver on that. But Bernie came out.
Power move, man.
He did a wonderful job with the kids. Kids loved him. The parents loved him. It was great. Big thanks to him and Frank Stams for coming out after they were at the Gardos game. Sadly, that they lost. That's Kevin Stefanski yesterday on Zoom talking about Deshaun Watson. More on him in a moment because there's a member of this show who says that they've put each other in a bad spot. It's just which is which. That coming up. Also coming up later on today, Urban Meyer will be on Afternoon Drive, 3 p.m. Urban Meyer. Former Jacksonville Jaguars coach.
Yeah, that's where.
Venerable Jacksonville Jaguars coach Urban Meyer will join the guys on Afternoon Drive. Was a Jacksonville legend. Some people say the father of the Jaguars.
Urban Meyer will join
Afternoon Drive coming up at 3 p.m. today. So you get all that. That's fantastic for everybody involved. Also, careful out there. There's schools being closed because of the heat.
Extreme heat.
Extreme heat. Well, it's not going to be.
It's going to be a hot one today. It's going to be a hot one today. Heat index around 100 degrees. Oof.
See, Stowe's closed today because of heat.
Make sure you hydrate.
Part of our school closed yesterday. We got that call yesterday afternoon.
Really?
Yeah.
So, jeez. I think the high in the borough.
I only have one of the six are out, though. The other five, get your asses to school.
Is it an older school? Is that why no AC?
Yeah, no AC in those buildings.
It's supposed to be
That's
high.
That's tough.
High 91 today in the borough. Oof. Now, what do I do? Do I stand here and complain about it and say the back in my day stuff, Owen? Or?
Yeah, let's hear the back in my day stuff.
Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I don't have anything. What do you mean see how it works out?
Let's see how it works out for you.
I asked if I should. I don't think I should. I was asking if I should.
No, you can do it. I think this show does not attract too many of the people that are the pro stay out because of heat.
I
think there's a lot of people that grew up listening to this show. They probably grew up drinking from the hose that was attached to the PVC pipe and told you get one water break for the next 2 hours and
water makes you weak.
Yeah, but I don't think that was the answer then, and I certainly don't now.
Well, like, that was then, and this is now.
Yeah, this is now. And it's like, wait a minute. Why am I supposed to send them just so they're uncomfortable? Is that it?
Toughens you up.
Yeah,
that is a thought from some people.
I don't think it's going
to. I had to do it. You have to do it.
I don't think that makes you tough. Sitting in a classroom, sweating your ass off, does not make you hot. Doesn't make you tough.
No, you're right. It makes you uncomfortable. It makes you miserable. It does not make you tough. It's a bad experience for everyone involved.
And then you can't get.
Especially at that age,
you can't get anything done. Think about this. How am I supposed to learn all the ABCs and all this stuff? Because you're going to be hot. The teachers are going to be hot. The teachers are going to do nothing but complain about it. It becomes a conversation about heat, and then that's just more hot air. I don't think anybody's going to accomplish anything when it's hot outside.
Yeah, it's going to be real tough to get past like the letter F reciting the alphabet today with this heat.
There's going
to
be a lot of the letter F when it's talking about that heat out there. Yeah, don't.
Fahrenheit.
If they don't have the AC or the AC's on the fritz, hell, let them stay home. Let them stay home. I'm not upset about it.
Enjoy the day.
Yeah, but you can't because you have to stay in because it's hot.
Not necessarily go run out in the sprinkler.
I hope the parents that have to take the day off from work are enjoying the day as well.
Can you let them run in the sprinkler and play outside if you can't go to school because it's hot?
Yeah, you can't go to school because there's no air conditioning inside it. I think that is more miserable. I think not having air conditioning inside on a day like today is more miserable than being outside.
But
on
is
a day
it
like
my
today.
Is it my obligation if school is closed because it's hot to keep you in the AC because the school is closed because it's too hot?
No, that's if you're, an issue. If your children have a snow day, do you not let them play in the snow?
That's a fair point,
Tucci.
Are they not allowed to go build a snowman because they're not in school? Are snowmen only a weekend activity?
That's a good point too.
Thank you.
But there's no sunmen that you can go build.
Yeah, you can go play outside with your friends. It's like an extension of summer break.
Yeah, but I got to make sure you're hydrated.
If they had make sure they drink water.
I don't need to make sure you're hydrated when it's snow.
If this day happened at the end of July, would they not be allowed outside? Or is it just a school thing that they have to be inside because school's canceled? Like, what if this day happened when school's not in session? Because guess what? We have plenty of warm days all summer long.
Yeah.
It's just this one, there's actual school to be canceled.
I do know that we have a splash pad at the pool, and the pool will not be open today because it's that time of the year where they don't open up during the week because there's no kids.
Because kids
usually
are in school. Yeah.
But they have opened the splash pad up today.
Hey, that's
in our town, and I'm sure other towns have done that maybe would not have it open at this time because of.
Okay. Got to find a way to beat the heat. There you go. More Gardo's coming up, 9 o'clock. Todd Derry going to join us from the Derry Brothers Guardians cast. Also, we'll get to the Guardians again coming up in the 7. So you think that either who put who in the bad position? Was it was it the Browns who put Deshaun Watson in a bad position, or was it Watson who put the Browns in a bad position? And what exactly does this pertain to, Danny Cunningham?
I think it's a bit of both because I think the situation's gotten a little bit awkward with Watson not playing in the preseason game after Kevin Stefanski came out and said he was going to play. The fact that we have not seen Deshaun Watson get real live reps since having surgery on his throwing shoulder, I think puts the Browns in a bad spot because they don't know what necessarily to expect. I think Watson coming out and saying, you know, I hadn't heard about that before, talking about potentially playing in a preseason game, put the Browns and Kevin Stefanski in a bad spot. I think this situation to me feels very awkward. And especially as Deshaun Watson has been somebody who has started historically, has started slow to begin not only individual games, but to begin seasons. I think everybody's in a bad spot here. Now, the fact that after week one, their schedule's not all that difficult helps a little bit, but I do need this team to look good September 8th against Dallas. Yeah. I need that. And I don't feel confident I'm going to get that from the most important position in sports. And I think that has put the rest of the team in a bad spot.
So is that whether Watson has put them in a bad position?
I think it's both. I don't think either side has handled this well. I think they have put each other in
a
bad spot.
And this is just the recent history, or are you talking overall?
In terms of slow starts for Watson?
About everything with Watson. Because a lot of people made a deal about the preseason. Are you talking about just the preseason, or are you talking about the last 3 years?
Slow starts for Watson, I think, has been something throughout his entire career.
Yeah.
I don't think that is something that is unique to Cleveland.
That
I think
is true.
That is a Deshaun Watson thing. And for the most part, that's fine. But when you're coming off of an injury in which there's no precedent for a quarterback ever being good coming off of that injury again, I think everybody should have seen a little bit more from him this preseason before we get to week one. So we just sort of know what we have when he hasn't been hit, when he hasn't played at game. It's not even about the contact thing for me. And I understand the offensive line is in shambles, and we'll talk about Jed Wills coming up. I totally get that. But you cannot simulate game speed in practice. And as somebody that I believe Deshaun Watson's processing speed hasn't been fast enough when he's been on the Browns, that is something that worries me. Is that his first live rep playing against someone going full speed at game speed is going to be when it matters. That concerns me.
Well, right now, we kind of get to where you're going to have to make your own decisions, and it is what it is. Because some people got it wrong yesterday. Some folks were wondering whether or not I was sizing up big fat excuses for him coming up next Sunday. I can't do that. We're done with the excuses. Mm-hmm. This is year three. It's a pivotal year three. It is what it is. But what you're asking here is the groundwork. It's going to seem to a lot of people of the fracturing between the two parties here. Talking about putting each other in bad positions, you understand, like, that's a high crime for a lot of folks, especially if it were to put the quarterback in a bad position.
But if you listen to Kevin Stefanski say the plan is for Deshaun Watson to play in the preseason, and then Deshaun Watson comes back out and says, I hadn't heard of that, you can't tell me they're not putting each other in a bad position, both of them, on that. Like, the fact that there was clearly a communication breakdown there at some point, and then he misses a day with the general soreness.
Uh-huh.
It feels weird.
216-474-0092. Did Watson put the organization in a bad position, or did the organization put itself in a bad position, or did they put Watson in a bad position?
life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.